Welcome to installment 27 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, positive commandment 13, regarding the donning of tefillin on the arm. Yesterday we learned in positive commandment number 12 that there is a separate commandment of placing the tefillin, the phylacteries, on the head. Positive commandment 13 is placing the tefillin on the arm. Why should it count as two mitzvahs and not one mitzvah, the mitzvah of wearing the tefillin? The Rambam explains, as he does normally in Sefer HaMitzvahs, to justify why he counts a mitzvah at all, or rather, why he counts them as separate mitzvahs. The Rambam quotes a discussion in the Talmudic tractate Menachos, and the Talmud discusses there what would happen if a person only had the tefillin for the arm, or the tefillin for the head, instead of both. There the Talmud expresses an opinion which says that if he is lacking one of the two, he should leave the one he has and not put on either one until he has both of the tefillin and can wear them properly. And the Talmud asks, how could you say such a thing? Just because he doesn't have one and he will not get two mitzvahs, should we deprive him even of doing one mitzvah? We see from this conversation that there are two separate mitzvahs, that if one does not have the tefillin for the head, he should put on the tefillin on the arm. And if he does not have the one for the arm, he should put them on the head. Because if he cannot do two mitzvahs, let him at least do one. From here the Rambam derives that they count as two separate, distinct mitzvahs. There are a number of differences between the tefillin worn on the head and those worn on the arm. One difference is the shape of the box in which the parchments are placed. The one on the hand is one large box, whereas in the head there are four separate batim, four separate enclosures, into each of which a separate piece of parchment is placed. Therefore, in the tefillin for the head, the four portions in the Torah in which the law of tefillin is mentioned, these four portions are written on four separate pieces of parchment, whereas on the hand, also four portions are written, but on one long piece of parchment, which is then rolled up and put in the one box, which is later placed on the arm. In addition, the tefillin shel rosh, the ones for the head, have a special engraving, or a shin, which is sticking out, the Hebrew letter shin sticking out of either side of the tefillin shel rosh. On one side, a shin with four branches, on the other side, a regular shin with three. This is partially an indication of the extra holiness of the tefillin which are on the head. And apparently why the Rambam lists the law of tefillin in the head is mitzvah number 12 before mitzvah 13, the tefillin on the arm, because of the additional holiness for the tefillin shel rosh which are on the head. Nevertheless, when it comes to putting on the tefillin, first we put the tefillin on the hand, and only afterwards do we place it on the head. The Baal Shem Tov explained that the tefillin of the head correspond to those Jews with an intellectual sort of leaning, and those scholars and other intellectual types, whereas the tefillin on the arm apply mainly to the simple sort of Jew who is a worker, who serves God less with his intellect than with his soul and with his pure, untainted faith in God. Intellect is limited, says the Baal Shem Tov, and therefore we put the tefillin on the arm before the tefillin on the head, since this is the advantage which the simple Jew has, using the pure strength of his soul and his untainted Emunah and Bitochen, his faith, he has an advantage over the scholarly person. And therefore, the tefillin on the head go on only after the tefillin are placed on the arm. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam goes on to quote the Mechilta, which states that women are exempt from the commandment of tefillin. What is the reason for this? The Rambam quotes the Mechilta, which says that a verse in proximity to the law of tefillin states that the reason for putting on tefillin, in order that there should be teiras Hashem beficha, that Hashem's Torah should be in your mouth, meaning never should one cease from Torah study. And since women are exempt from Torah study, as we discussed earlier in Sefer HaMitzvahs, they are also exempt from this law of tefillin. Since the tefillin are to bring a person to Torah study, therefore, since they are exempt from the Torah study, they are also exempt from the tefillin. A reason which is more commonly given, which the Rambam implies also in his legal code, is that tefillin is a time-bound commandment, that one is exempt and one actually should not wear tefillin on Shabbos or on a holiday. and therefore is a specific time. It is worn only during the week. Therefore, just as women are exempt from all time-bound commandments, so too they are exempt from wearing tefillin. Just like other time-bound commandments, such as lulav and shofar, the law would normally be that a woman, although not required to wear the tefillin, would nevertheless be allowed to wear them. As we have seen in Jewish history, that Michal, the daughter of Shaul, used to wear tefillin. And so too, the daughters of Rashi, it is said, also wore tefillin. However, in later times, the law has changed. Not that the law itself has changed, but rather that circumstances have changed. The reason which is given is that as the days have gone on, people are more careless and less capable of caring for the holiness of the tefillin. As we remind ourselves that the parchments which are placed in the tefillin are just like little parts of a Sefer Torah of a Torah scroll and must be treated with extreme sanctity and care. Therefore, one must take special measures to ensure that his thoughts should not wander from the tefillin and that he should have cleanliness of the body at the time of wearing the tefillin. In fact, men who traditionally would wear the tefillin the entire day if possible, today are accustomed to wearing the tefillin only at the time of prayers, for the same reason, that since, as the generations have gone on, people are less capable of caring for the tefillin with the proper degree of sanctity, the amount of time for wearing the tefillin has been shortened. Instead of the whole day, it is worn only for a short period of time. Therefore, similarly, women, since they are not commanded to wear the tefillin, should not wear the tefillin, and we should prevent them from wearing the tefillin today. Even though they are only exempt and not prohibited, today there applies a prohibition. In fact, so to say, even the men would be prevented from wearing the tefillin if they were not required by the Torah to do so. As a result of the decreased ability to care for their sanctity, we would not allow the men to wear either, so to speak. And the women who are not required are therefore forbidden from wearing the tefillin. This idea that one is exempt from wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov has an interesting explanation. It is said that the tefillin are a sign that one is a Jew, and a sign of God's revelation in the world. There are three things which are known as a sign: Shabbos, the Sabbath day, the tefillin, and bris milah, the circumcision. Normally in the laws of testimony, you must have two witnesses in Jewish law in order to substantiate anything. Therefore, when it comes to testimony of God's existence in the world, we also need two forms of testimony. So on a weekday, we have the bris milah, the circumcision, and we have the tefillin, which are the second sign. When it comes Shabbos or Yom Tov, we already have two signs. We have, again, the bris, but the Shabbos or the Yom Tov itself is a sign of God's presence in the world. Therefore, the tefillin are not necessary when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov, since we already have two forms of testimony. The importance of tefillin is stressed many places in the writings of our sages, who say the head was only created to wear the tefillin. Otherwise, God would not have made a head. As we mentioned yesterday, our sages also say, Huksha kol ha-Torah kula le-tefillin, that all the mitzvahs of the Torah are compared to tefillin, that it is an all-inclusive commandment. The Tikkun HaZoyer states that when it says in Chumash that man was created in God's image and his likeness, this refers to when he is wearing tefillin. Should he not be wearing the tefillin, he is not in God's image or in his likeness. What is written in the tefillin and the purpose of putting on the tefillin should be kept consciously in mind when putting on the tefillin. The tefillin contain the idea of Hashem's oneness, the Shema Yisrael, and also a description of the miracles done for us when we were in Egypt, which aside from arousing our gratitude for Hashem's saving us, also show on His oneness, that He has ability to change things in the world, whether the lower world or the supernal worlds, to change them in whatever fashion He wishes. When we put the tefillin on our arm, facing our heart, and our head, directly opposite the brain, we keep in mind that our brain should be completely devoted to Hashem, and our neshama, our soul, which is revealed in the brain, also should be totally directed towards His service. And so too on the arm facing the heart, that our feelings and our enjoyment should be placed only in godliness. This is also hinted to in the seven wounds, which are which the straps are wound around the arm, that the seven emotional qualities of a person, the seven emotional characteristics as described in Kabbalah and Chassidus, should all be directed towards godly service. And then we wind the remaining part of the strap around the hand, hinting to the idea of action, that all of our actions should also be directed towards godly service. The Talmud tells the story about a sage named Elisha, who actually risked his life to put on tefillin. During his time, the Romans had made a decree that anyone who was caught wearing tefillin would be immediately put to death. People put on tefillin quietly and secretly in their homes, but Elisha had such a desire to wear the tefillin, he would wear them not only in the house and in shul, but he would walk home in the street with his tefillin, as was the custom in years past. When the law started to be enforced, a Roman soldier spotted Elisha and started to chase him. Elisha naturally ran away. When the soldier began to catch up to him, Elisha took off the tefillin from his arm and from his head and prayed to Hashem that he should be saved. Elisha put the tefillin in his hand, and the Roman soldier asked him, "Where are your tefillin?" And he looked and he saw the hands and he said, "Open up your hands." Elisha said, "What? I have nothing in my hands." Well, he said, "What do you mean you have tefillin in your hands?" And he said, "No, these are wings of a dove." And the soldier said, "Open your hands." And he opened, and miraculously, the tefillin had turned into wings of a dove, and Elisha's life had been spared. The mitzvah tefillin is one of the 10 mitzvah campaigns to spread Judaism among the Jewish people, which was instituted by the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita. It was instituted at a time when there was great physical danger to the Jews in the land of Israel as a result of the Six-Day War around this time. And the Rebbe referred to the Rosh, one of the Rishonim, who writes in his Hilchos Ketanes that soldiers and people at war are saved by wearing the tefillin, as our sages say regarding the verse in the Chumash, that the nations of the world shall look upon you and be afraid of you. This is referring to the tefillin. Therefore, putting on tefillin can strike fear into the hearts of the enemy. This was seen in actuality in a story regarding the Alter Rebbe, when he was to be placed under arrest by the Tsar in Russia after the false accusations which had been placed against him. One of the representatives of the Tsar burst into the room where the Alter Rebbe was to arrest him in a very arrogant fashion. However, when he opened the door, he saw the Alter Rebbe dressed in his tefillin and talis, and immediately was seized with a very deep dread and fear. Immediately he left the room and asked for permission to see the Alter Rebbe. Later on, the Alter Rebbe explained to a chassid who asked him that this fear was as a result of him wearing the tefillin. The chassid asked, "But Rebbe, I also wear tefillin. I don't see that they're so afraid of me." And the Alter Rebbe answered him. He says, "It says that anyone that has tefillin sheberosh, the enemy will be afraid of him." He says, "You have to have the tefillin in your head. Merely having the tefillin on your head will not guarantee that one individual will be able to strike fear into the hearts of the non-Jews. The tefillin must be in your head, meaning it must be integrated with you and part of you. And then certainly the enemy will be afraid." Tremendous effort should be placed that any Jew should put on tefillin even one time, and certainly to do many times. As the Rambam says in his legal code, a very severe judgment is rendered to a person that doesn't put on tefillin, and especially a person who has never ever put on tefillin. Therefore, great stress should be placed upon this campaign. And in doing this one mitzvah, hopefully the words of our sages will follow mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, one mitzvah will be followed by another, and the person will come to be close to Hashem in all of the mitzvahs.